Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psochim Daf Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur on Daf Zayin 17 lines from the top. You might scan down and you'll notice there's two double dots in the middle of the line after the expression Shema Amino at the beginning of the line. On the side of the Gemara, before we begin the actual shiur, we have a nosei, a topic heading. Let's read it together. Motza pas sheipsha. Person finds on Pesach moldy bread. Moldy pas. Now, the word pas is a term referring to what we in English might call bread. However, when learning this sukkia, you have to bear in mind that the matzah that is spoken about might also appear to be bread. So just for the sake of illustration, imagine you have something like pita bread. This is a flat type of baked good made of flour and water. Those of you who have been to Israel or live in Israel are quite familiar with pita bread. It's a flat type of Mideastern bread, and it in fact could serve as matzah as well if, when it was made initially, the water was added to the flour, it was rolled out and baked immediately without it sitting around to ferment. The difference between chametz and matzah, technically speaking, is a fraction of a second. It's the difference between sitting around too much time versus sitting around less than that amount of time. If for argument's sake, we say that leaving dough unattended for 18 minutes would make it into chametz, just for illustration purposes. So if you leave dough sitting around for 17 minutes and 59 seconds, it's not chametz. And again, the numbers we're using is just for illustration purposes. We have no intention of conveying anything that resembles practical halacha. Just an illustration. So when we learn our sukkah, we'll speak about pashipsha, moldy bread, but don't assume that when we speak about moldy bread, it's something that looks very clearly like a risen, large, big loaf of bread that developed mold on it. But rather, assume for illustration purposes something that could be misconstrued as something that's not chometz. So we have chometz versus non-chometz, or you can refer to that as matzah. And as we go on in the Gemara, matzah is not necessarily something that you may be familiar with, a very flat, crunchy, dry, crunchy type cracker item. But rather, as we said before, something that might be associated with what we call pita bread. But as we said, pita bread that's baked immediately and not left sitting around fermenting, in fact, is not chometz. So that, having been cleared at the beginning, our introductory note mentions this pashipsha, a moldy bread, muteres. Hagemara is muter. Hagemara masbir be'ezit tnoyim hi muteres. Under what circumstances can we say that this is muter? The Gemara. Omar Rabo Mar Rav Huna Omar Rav. Ha pas sheipsha, moldy pas. Again, the word pas is bread, but we're using the term bread in a very circumspect fashion. It's a baked good. Just to illustrate how careful we have to be, when you eat matzah, what's the bracha you say? You say, hamotzi lechem min oretz. You refer to matzah by the term lechem, which in English you might translate as bread. In English, they often refer to as leavened bread and unleavened bread. So, it would be convenient for us to use the term pas henceforth as a reference to this item. So if you find pas she'ipsha, moldy pas, kefon she'rubsa matza muteris. Now, this is something we cannot translate in a definitive fashion yet. The Gemara will deal with this as it goes along. In the meantime, the expression kefon she'rubsa is explained by Rashi. The assumption is im nishtamshu b'tevazu matza yoyser michametz. If this box, if we call it a bread box, if this box was used for matzah more than chometz, azlinon baser ruba umuteres, we will then make the assumption that this moldy pas in fact is matzah. As we said in our introduction, we're dealing with a substance that could be viewed as this or that. In other words, it's something that could be, it's hard to identify just by looking at it. Hence, we can be fairly certain that we're not dealing with some type of large, swollen loaf of bread. Otherwise, it's easy to identify what it is. So rather, we're talking about this pita bread type thing that has become moldy, and this halacha seems to be saying, that's the halacha is quoted in the name of Rav, that if you found it in a box, in a bread box that's used primarily or in majority of it is matzah, then assume that this moldy stuff is in fact not is not chometz. Hechi domi. What are the circumstances? And you can see we have a double underline to highlight the stages, Ilemo, Elo, structure Gemara, which are Shlavei Biur, as we've identified under our Mivneh heading on the side, stages in trying to figure out what are the circumstances. Ilemo di Yoda bo de Chometzu. If you know that that which is moldy, this stuff, this thing, had been actual Chometz that just became moldy, he rubs a matzah mayave. So what? The box is used primarily, the majority of its contents are matzah. What you're dealing with right now is something that you know was chometz. Ela delo yadinon ba, e chometz hu, e matzah hu. Rather, it must be that I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was chometz or matzah. All I see is this moldy thing. Well, if that's the case, my iryoki rubsa matzah, then why does Rav speak about the majority having been matzah? Filu ki lo rubsa matzah nami, nasal, boser, basra. Even if it wasn't used, the majority for matzah, why not establish its identity by that which was last in the box? And this is a long question. You can see we've marked it off as such. We're going to focus now on this concept of in when you have a doubt. And we can take a look at the side of the Gemara. We have a tat no se introducing this as a subtopic. B'mokom sofek, when you have a doubt, yesh aleches boser masha hoy achron, go follow, determine your doubt by that which was there most recently, that which was there at the end, meaning most recently. Me, the Gemara continues, mi lo tnan, have we not learned the following? This source deals with money found in Yerushalayim, or alternatively on the Temple Mount. And just by way of background, we have to introduce the idea of Meiser Sheni, a person who has has an agricultural operation, and he's raising different types of produce in Israel. He is expected to tithe 10% of his produce as Meiser Sheni. There are other tithes. We're not going to get into the other tithes. We're focusing on Meiser Sheni, and that's a tithe that one separates on the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the seven-year agricultural cycle. In the event, once he tithes it, he's expected, technically speaking, to bring the produce to Jerusalem and eat it within the walls of Yerushalayim. In the event that he has a vast amount of fruit, that would be the 10% would be just too much for him to carry to Yerushalayim. The Torah provides an option of his redeeming the fruits that have sanctity by virtue of the fact that they were tithed as Meiser Sheni. There's a level of sanctity that they have. The fruits, the kedusha of those peros, is transferred onto money. So we refer to that as Pidyon Meiser Sheni. So we have if he does that, the kesh then absorbs a certain level of sanctity, and that kesh must be brought to Yerushalayim, and in Yerushalayim it's used for the purchase of food that one eats there. The common practice under those circumstances was to buy animals and offer the animals as shlomim sacrifices. So for our purposes, we just have to be aware of the existence of sanctified, that there is such a thing as money that is sanctified with kedushas, meiser sheni, the sanctity of the meiser sheni tithe. Of course, that money is earmarked for the purpose of buying food that you will eat in Yerushalayim. You can't do with that money whatever you like. There are even questions of using that money, let's say, to marry a woman, to betroth a woman with that. But certainly to use that money for buying a new car, that you would not be allowed to do. The Gemara. Concerning the issue of following the most recent, when you have an issue of doubt, mi lo tanan, have we not learned the following? Mois shenimsu lifnei sochare behemo le'olom meiser. Money that you find in that's found, let's see, lying on the floor in front of people that are animal vendors, that money is assumed to be meiser sheni money. Beharabayas. Why is that, by the way? Why is it that money that's found in front of animal vendors is assumed to be meiser sheni? Because, as we said before, the common practice was to use meiser sheni money for the purchase of animals that you would offer as sacrifices, as shlomim sacrifices, in the Beis HaMikdash. And as a shlomim sacrifice, then you are entitled to eat the meat in conformity to the rules of meiser sheni being eaten in Yerushalayim. So money that's found in front of Sochorei Behemo is assumed to be meiser sheni money. Bahar HaBayis, cash that you find on the Temple Mount, Hulin. There, on the Temple Mount, you don't have animal vendors over there. So the cash that you find on the floor of the Har HaBayis, that is assumed to be non-sanctified money. Birushalayim, cash that you find in Jerusalem, Bishas HaRegel Meiser, during the holiday time, which is the time that there was Aliyas Regel, there was the thrice year pilgrimage, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, is the time that people, out of sheer convenience, because people were obligated anyway to come to Yerushalayim to offer their holiday sacrifices, the Olas Re'iyah, the Shalmei Chagiga, they also brought their Meiser Sheni money to Yerushalayim at that time of year. So if you find money, Bishas HaRegel, in Yerushalayim, Meiser, we will make the assumption that it is Meiser cash with its accompanying sanctity. Bishar Yemois HaShana Hulin. If you find cash in Yerushalayim other times of year, so it's not assumed to be money from the Olei Regolim, from the holiday pilgrims, Hulin is therefore deemed to be mundane. The Omer of Shmaya Bar Zera Mai Taimo, why is that with regard to Yerushalayim? Why is money that you find Bishar Yemos HaShana Hulin and money that you find during the holiday time Meiser? In other words, if you find money on the floor of Yerushalayim during the holiday time, maybe it comes from the pre-holiday period and it should be Hulin. So why is it so? Why is it thusly determined? So the answer is Hoyo Vishuke Yerushalayim Asun Liskabed B'chol Yom. Since the streets of Jerusalem are swept every day. And this is in contrast to the Har HaBayis, which was sloping, and there was no real need to sweep the Har HaBayis. Any dust that accumulated there, since it was sloping, would be blown away by the winds and by rain. So there was no need for the sweeping of the Har HaBayis. So we're focusing right now on Jerusalem, where sweeping took place every day. Alma, what does this enable us to conclude? Amrinon, we therefore say, Kamoi, Kamoi, Asli lay, whatever was there previously is gone, is swept away. Vahani achrini ninu, and that which we find now is something else, as something other than that which had been there before. Therefore, if you are on the holiday, just for illustration purposes, and you find cash on Yerushalayim's floor, whatever might have been there on the floor from before the holiday was swept away. So we see that we establish that which is in doubt by focusing on the most recent. Hocha nami. So too in the case of the matzah, the box that was filled with the baked goods and was used for chometz and matzah products, and I find a moldy baked item and I don't know its identity. Nemo, just let us say kama ozil, whatever that was there earlier. The earlier stuff is, you know, of course we're dealing with, you're finding it on Pesach. So that which was earlier, the chometz, that's gone. That's not what this is. The thing I'm picking up now on Pesach in this box, deho idno, who it is, the current baked good, which would be matzah. The Gemara answers, why is it not so clear? Why, even though we have this concept of going Basar Basra, following the most recent, why does that not help us to identify this Pas She'ipsha? Shiny Hoch, this case is different. The Ipusha Mochiach Iluya, the level of moldiness shows us that it is not something that has been, that was there from the recent batch, but rather it is most likely from something prior to Pesach, and it would be Chometz. Well, the Gemara says, "I ipusha mochiach iluya." If the moldiness is so great and it proves its identity, ki rebsa matzo mayhavi. So what? There, as Rav's original halacha says that there was the majority of matzah was there. So how does that help whatsoever? Rav's original halacha was, you have this moldy bread, and now we're explaining it's extremely moldy, showing us that it's there from, it's been sitting there for a long time, it's there from before Pesach. And he says, well, since the majority of the box was used for matzah products, this is mutter. So the Gemara is asking, so what? If the circumstances are so clear that it's from before Pesach, ki rabsa matzah, so the box may have been used for the majority, has been used for matzah, my havi, so what difference should that make? Omar Rabba, lo temo she rabsa matzah, don't say in explaining Rav's halacha that it was a function of majority of matzah, the majority of the products that were in this box were matzah products. Elo emo she ravu yemei matzah iluya. Here's a totally different explanation. And that's why, by the way, Rashi, when he initially explained Kivan Sherav Samatza, he used the expression Ka Salka Daitoch. The initial thinking was that it was that was defined as majority, Rav associated with majority, quantity-wise, quantity of items. Not so. This is a new pshat. Elo Emo, we'll read this again, Sheravu Yemei Matza Iluya. That means that the time, a large amount, Ravu means a large amount of time has passed by of Yemei Matzah, Pesach. In other words, very simply speaking, I found this moldy pas in the box after most of Pesach has gone by. Let's say I'm picking this, my Pesach being a 7-day holiday, so on the last day of Pesach, I'm picking up this pas shibsha, and Rav says, well, since so many days of Pesach have gone by, it's likely that it in fact is matzah that happened to become moldy, and its level of moldiness is so great simply because so many days of Pesach have gone by. Well, lihachi pshita. So if those are the circumstances, then there's no suffix. Then it's obvious. Rashi says on this, lihachi pshita filu suffix leka. It is not even an element of doubt. The mistamo vadai vodka, that it's all likely, and you certainly had checked out the box and, you know, but before Pesach, cleaned it out of whatever was there. The whole matzah here, this is matzah, just having to be very moldy. Why is there even an element of doubt that I need Rav to tell me that it's muteris? Lo tzricha, di pusha meruba. The circumstances here are that it's extremely moldy, it's very moldy. Mahu detemo, kiva di pusha meruba. You might have said that since it's so moldy, it's extremely moldy, gloy milso devale chometz ma'al yehu, that this is definitely full-fledged chometz. Kamash molon, so what Rav is telling us, kevon de ravu yemei matzah iluya, since so many days of Pesach, yemei matzah means Pesach, have gone by, amrinon, we therefore have a right to say, kol yom yoma v'yoma, namo chamima ofa v'shadoi luya. Every day he was baking new namo. Namo is a word for pasen, as we said, the bread. He was baking over Pesach this namo chamima, fresh, hot bread every day, and placing it on this paschips, on this stuff that you now found to be moldy, and the heat of the daily fresh baked pas causes extreme moldiness, v'ipsha tfei, and hence became very moldy. So that the extreme moldiness that we find in this, thanks to Rav's din, I can associate with matzah and not conclude that it comes from before Pesach. The Gemara now asks a question on that which we assume to be the case before, when we said that you can determine doubt by following that which was most recent. The Gemara asks, Umi azlino and Basar Basar. By the way, we have a little arrow here. You can align this with the arrow above, and you can see what the question is being focused on. So we're asking, is that really so, that we follow that which was most recent in order to determine doubt for Hotanya? Do we not have the following source, Rabbi Yossi Rebuta Oimer? Teva shinishtam shu ba mo'is chulin u'mo'is meiser. Here we're talking about a money box. And the money box was used for mundane cash and for meiser cash. Im roiv chulin, if the majority is chulin, is mundane, so then that which you found here that you're in doubt about is considered chulin. Im roiv meiser. And if the majority majority of the money that was in this box was meiser, so then conclude it to be meiser cash. Ve'amai, why is there this doubt? Lazel Basar Basra, why not just determine based on that which was most recently in the box is that which this is? So in order to answer that question, we will have a number of suggestions, and we've numbered them, as you can see, 1 through 3. Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, Hochabah Mayaskinon, the case here that we don't simply use the Basar Basra method of determining is Kegon Shinishtam Shubo Mo'is Chulin U'mo'os Meiser V'ein Yodea Ezo Mehen Besof. It's a box that he used for both chulin, mundane funds, and for meiser funds, and he doesn't know which was there most recently. Being that he can't use the Basar Basra method of concluding, so we go Basar Rov, we follow the majority. Rav Zvid Omar, Kegon Shinishtamshu Bo Tziburin Tziburin. Tziburin literally means piles, but it means like this. It means that this box was used simultaneously in one corner chulin funds, and in the other corner meiser funds, and therefore there is no issue of most recent because both were most recent, and therefore the only other method of determining the doubt is follow the majority. Rav Papa Amar Kagon de Ishtakach Beguma. Rav Papa says in general we would follow that which was most recently there. However, the money that he found, that he is in doubt about, is found in a gumon, a depression, a hole, a crevice, a crack. And as such, since it's lodged in a crack, it might be money that was there from a long time ago, and not that which was there most recently. And as a result, I can't use the Basar Basra method of concluding the doubt, but rather we resort to the issue of, or the method of following the rov, the majority. And now we turn to a new sukya, and we introduce it with our topic heading on the side. And this sukya will preoccupy us for most of Omid Beis as well. And you can, if you want to see, you can look at Omid Beis, and you'll notice a third of the way up from the bottom, a two dots with a dibur masel from the Mishnah, Lior Haner, at that point a new topic will surface. But in the meantime, we'll be focusing on the issue of the bracha made for Bedikas Chomei. So on the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei, the topic heading, number 1, Nusach HaBracha L'Bedikas Chomei, what's the text of the bracha made before engaging in the search for the chametz. And number two, yesh lahakpid levarach birchas hamitzvah oiver lasiyasan. One is to be diligent in making the bracha prior to the fulfillment, lefnei kiyum hamitzvah, before the fulfillment of the mitzvah. As a result of this, it's also of importance that the text of the bracha reflect something of a future nature. In other words, the text should be such that it indicates I'm making a benediction concerning a mitzvah that I will be performing, and not a text that has a past tense connotation, which would be very inappropriate when you'd be saying some benediction, a bracha indicating something that I have done in the past when I haven't done it yet. I'm only about to do it. So let's see the Gemara. Omar Rav Yehuda, we're three lines from the bottom in the Gemara. Omar Rav Yehuda, habodek tzorech shiyavorech. One who checks, does the chometz search on the night of the 14th of Nisan, he has to make a brocha. Mai mevorech, what's the text? And the Gemara gives it to you in an abbreviated form, but realize that when the Gemara does this, there was the introduction to every bracha is Baruch Ato Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvosav V'tzivanu. That's the standard Birchas HaMitzvah, bracha made before performing a mitzvah. And then all the Gemara is going to quote is the last phrase, after you said B'mitzvosav V'tzivanu, so then what do you say? Mayim Avarach Rav Papa Amar Mishmei Derava Levaer Chometz. Rav Papa Amar Mishmei Derava, you have two versions as to what Rava had said. You have Rav Papa's version, and you've got Rava's version, and you've got the Rav Papa's version, both of Rava. Rav Papa says that Rava had said Al Bior Chometz. So if a machlokas within Rava, what is the text? Belivaer, using that text, Kule Alma Lo Pligi Devadai Lehabo Mashma, everyone will agree that that's a legitimate text because it has a future connotation. That you're saying in your bracha, Asher Kitshanu B'mitzvah Sabazonu, that the Almighty has commanded us to go ahead and destroy the chometz. And by the way, bedikas chometz is the beginning of the destruction process of the chometz. Hence, that you don't be mistaken or confused by the fact that we're using the term levaer when we're talking about bedikas chometz, because they are really one in the same. So everyone will agree that levaer would be an acceptable version, acceptable text, because it has a future connotation. It connotes the future, that which I will do, which is appropriate for the brocha. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Ki pligi, the machlokas that we saw between Rav Papa and Rav Papi within Rava is Be'al Bior. Is Al Bior Chometz a legitimate text? Does it also have a future connotation? Mor Savar Me'ikora Mashma. The Amanda Omar that said Leva'er, which was in fact Rav Papi, he said you cannot use the text of Al Bior Chometz because Al Bior indicates something that Me'ikora had taken place already. In other words, you would be saying, Blessed be Hashem, Asher Kitchon Mesov Zivanu, Al Bior Chometz, regarding the Chometz that I already destroyed. Well, that's inappropriate because you're about to embark on the search and destroy mission of the Chometz. It's not so that you have already done it. Umor Savar, Rav Papa holds that Al Bior is Lehabo Mashma. It has a future connotation, and hence it's acceptable as our bracha text. You notice triangles that appear, and as you skim down the Gemara, you'll notice that these triangles appear in an alternating fashion. So on the side of the Gemara, under our Mivneh heading, you see a triangle feature, and we call this a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the give-and-take style of the Gemara, with the point facing up, kushios. They represent kushios al hamanda omar, questions on the opinion that said the nusach erul al bior chometz have a lishaavar. The claim that it would be past tense is going to be brought into question, and simply said, we're going to be asking on Rav Papi, who did not want to use al bior because of his claim that it connotes past. When the triangle inverts with the point facing down, that represents tshuvos, responses. And this you can just skim ahead. It's also helpful at times just to see the length of this discussion, to put things in perspective textually, how this discussion will continue to almost halfway down the page. The last triangle, you'll notice we have a long marking also just to indicate how long that particular response is. So now the Gemara. After having said that Rav Papi disavows the use of Al Bior on the grounds that it connotes past Mesve, Baruch Hashem Kitshanu B'Mitzvusav Zvanu Al Hamilah, the standard text for the bracha made over circumcision is this, is Al Hamilah. So you see Al, and the bracha is made before the orla, the foreskin, is cut. What do we see? So Al Hamilah, or Al Bior Chometz in the case of our Chometz discussion, it has a future connotation. So Rav Papi will answer, Hasam Heifi Neima. There in the case of Mila, what other choice do you have? Neima Lamul. Should you say that? Asher Kitshanu B'Mitzvusav Zvanu Lamul. That is not appropriate. There's another aspect of the words that we haven't explained till now, but in this case, the word lomul implies that the one who is making the bracha is the one that is charged with that mitzvah. Who, generally speaking, does the circumcision? Generally speaking, it's someone who is in Hebrew we would call them a moyel, a professional moyel. In the Gemara, the term, you'll find from time to time, the term rofe is used. In modern Hebrew, the word rofe is associated with a doctor, but it's we'll call him a professional circumciser. He's the one that, generally speaking, does the milah. But it's not so that he is charged from the Torah that it's his obligation. He does it. It's his contribution to general society to be the circumciser, but it's not his obligation to do so. If anyone is obligated, it's the father of the child. He passes on the obligation. He charges an agent for him, the moyel, to do the job, but the moyel is not charged with the mitzvah. He's doing it on behalf of the father. So the suggestion to say lomul, which has the true future connotation, just couldn't be recited over here. Why? Let's read this now in the Gemara. Neima lomul, should he say the lomul text? Lo sagyo delav ihu moyel. Is it possible that only he, the moyel, is charged with that? With that mitzvah? It's not so. It's not the moyel's obligation. It's the father's obligation. And the word lomul implies that the one who is doing it is the one that's charged with it. So out of default, the word, the lomul text cannot be used. So out of default, we use the al hamilah text, which is a more general text. The Gemara asks, well, Avi HaBen Mai Ikola Meimar? Let's say the father of the child, who is actually the one charged with the mitzvah, let's say he is doing the circumcising of his son. What should the text be then? Shouldn't he say Lomul? So Rav Papi will answer in Hochinami, that's right. If the father is doing the milah, he should say Lomul. Not only is he obligated, but it also is the better text because of its future connotation. Mesve. Well, what about the following? Baruch Hashem Kitshanu B'Mesve Sovet Zivanu Al Hashchita. Before slaughtering an animal, the slaughterer makes this bracha Al Hashchita, which would imply that the Al has a future connotation. Rav Papi will answer Hosam Nami. There too, in the case of Shchita, Hechi Nemo. What should he say? Nemo Lishchit. Should he use that term, that version, that text? Lo sagyo de lav yihu shachit? Is it such that he has to be the one to shochet. Is he obligated to slaughter? That's not so. It's not accurate to say that the one who is shechting is obligated, that he is charged with the mitzvah of doing shechita. In the case of shechita, if someone wants to eat meat, so he has to shecht before eating the meat. But to say that there is an obligation, there's a blanket obligation of having to shecht just like that, no, it's not so. Therefore, out of default, you can't use the word lishchot. It's not as if there's an obligation that one has to shecht. And even to be more accurate than that, the one who is shechting is not charged that he specifically is the one that anyone could shecht. So that it's not accurate to say lomul. Pesach v'kodshim ma'ikulamemer. What about the slaughtering of Pesach or other sacrifices where in fact the owner of the sacrifice is charged with the slaughtering? The Gemara says, in Hochinami, if the owner of a sacrifice is doing this shechita, it's accurate to say lishchot, and thusly he should say, according to Rav Poppy. Meisvei, we have a question from a Tanaic source involving the mitzvah of lulav. It says, ha'oise lulav li'atzmo, one who prepares a lulav, he ties together the different varieties of plants that constitute the lulav. Mevorech shechiyonu v'kimonu v'kiyonu l'zman hazeh. He makes the brocha of shechiyonu. Notlo lotzeisbo, you are going to pick it up in order to fulfill the mitzvah. The word lotzeis means you haven't done it yet. You're picking it up in order to do the mitzvah. Omer asher kitshonu v'mitzvah v'tzvanu arul netilas lulav, which implies future. This would be a problem for Rav Poppy. Rav Poppy, who had said in the case of the Bedikas Chametz that you make the bracha of, you cannot make the bracha of al bior, you have to say livayer, because if you say al bior, that implies something that had already been done. But here you see, contrary to Rav Poppy, that al nitilas liv, the al implies something future. The Gemara answers, it's not really, the case of the lulav isn't really future, shiny hossam. That is different. The be'idno de'agba nofak bay. As soon as he picked it up, which is prior to his having said the bracha, as soon as he picked it up, he has already fulfilled the mitzvah. Therefore, al is quite appropriate. If this source is really talking about a case where he has already fulfilled the mitzvah, then the text lotseis bo, which appears in the Tanaic source we just read, that's not accurate. Yotza bo mi boyale. It should have said yotza bo. He's already fulfilled it, and after having already fulfilled it, so he uses the past tense brocha. The Gemara says in hachi nami. In fact, you're right. He has already fulfilled the mitzvah. So the question then is, what about the text of the source? Should it not have said yotzabo? Why does it say lotzeis? Umishum dekaboy lemisne seifa, since it wants to teach the seifa, which we will see later. So which it says le shave basuka. Tono nami tona reishonami lotseis bo. Again, since later the text, when it comes to going into the sukkah, it says you can skim down, just drop down four lines. It says nichnas leishave bo. So you see that form, that grammatical form of leishave bo. So grammatically, to keep things balanced, we say lotseis bo in the case of the lulav. But it's only a grammatical or text structure consideration as opposed to a reflection of reality. So since in the Seifa the text is going to be Lei Sheifo, Tona Reishonami Lotseis Bo. That's why in the Reisha you see the use of the term Lotseis Bo, when really it should be Yotza Bo in the past tense. Dekotoni Seifa, as the Seifa says, Ho'oise Sukkah Li'atzmo, one who prepares his, builds his own Sukkah, Omer Baruch HaTo Hashem That's, as we said earlier, the Gemara presents brachas in an abbreviated fashion, hence we added Elokeinu Melech Olam to give you a full flavor of the bracha. That's as far as making the sukkah and the recitation of Shekhinah. By the way, that's not something we practice, but when we're learning Gemara, especially in a Gemara marking shiur, we're not dealing with halacha lemaisa, with practical halacha, practical application of halacha. We continue. Nichnas leishev ba. He enters the sukkah to dwell, to sit in it. Omer baruch asher kishon v'sovet zivanu leishev basuka. But as far as Rav Papi is concerned, he has successfully deflected any objection raised on his shita. That's as far as the give and take section of Gemara is concerned, with the focus on Rav Papi. However, what about the final law as far as the Gemara is concerned? The Hilchasa, the Gemara rules Al Biur Chametz, that Al Biur, it also has a future connotation, and hence it is an acceptable bracha. The Gemara, that is the Rashi, just a few lines up, Rashi says, V'ilchusa al biur nami lahabo mashma. It also has the future connotation. V'gabi mila nami lo shno avi haben mi'inish da'aman. As far as mila, where we say al hamila, doesn't matter whether it's the father or someone else that's doing it, deho lahabo mashma. V'al mila nami k'lomul dami. And al mila is just like lomul, which is certainly has a future connotation. We continue in the Gemara. Dekuli almomio, everyone is in agreement. Meikora boinin levruchi, that the bracha must be said at the outset, at the beginning, before the performance of the mitzvah. Minralon, from where do we know that? The answer is we know that from a rule stated by Shmuel. Diomar v'yomar Shmuel, kol hamitzvus mevorach aleim oiver la'asiyosan. So we'll say that the starting point in our discussion is accepting Shmuel as a fact that brachas must be made over lasios. Now he uses an interesting expression, over, to refer to prior to lasios and prior to their performance. My mashma dahai over lishna dakdumihu. From where do we see that the word over that Shmuel used it reflects something prior to? Let's just review the main point. The main point is that up till now we have been working with the assumption that brachas are made before the mitzvah, hence it was important for us to establish a future tense text for the bracha. And that brachas are not recited after the fulfillment of the mitzvah. If the brachas were recited after the fulfillment of mitzvah, then a past tense text would have been legitimate. But no, the bracha must be recited before the fulfillment. Now, where do we know that point from? So we know it from Shmuel. As far as where does Shmuel get that from, that's another issue. But we're working with Shmuel as the basis. And that's a function of his statement that all brachas hamitzvah, all mitzvahs, one makes a bracha before their fulfillment. So the Gemara wants to know, as far as Shmuel's use of the term over is referring to prior to, where does he know that from? My mashma dahai over lishno da'akdumihu. From where do we know that over indicates something prior to? The word akdumi, from the word, from the root kuf dalid mem, kodam, which means to be before or earlier than, prior to. In order to answer this question, from where does Shmuel derive that the word over means prior to, you will see in the Gemara a number of suggestions, and we've highlighted them with double underlines. One of our series markings on the side under the Mivneh, you can see the double underline is featured. Mekoros, these are sources, meha mikra, from the scriptures, the oiver havi loshon lifnei, that the word over means before or in front of. The Gemara. Omar of Nahmar Yitzchak, the first double underline, he says, Yomar Krov, Vayorat Achimatz Derech HaKikor, Vayavor Es Hakushi. and Achimotz was running, and he overtook, and once he went in front of the Cushi. So you see, the word Vayavor is the word indicating in front of. Abaye Omar Mehocha, from the following, Vuhu Ovar Lifnehem. The word Lifnehem means in front of, so means he passed in front of them, and hence the word Ovar is what Shmuel, the word Ovar was what Shmuel was basing himself on, that you see in this pasuk, for his law of Over Lasiosan. Biboyseim Omehocha. Another possibility is from the following, Vayavor Malkum Lifnehem, Vashem Berosham. And you see the word Vayavor in the context of Lifnehem, and he passed in front of them. As the Gemara continues, we are going to continue discussing the idea of making a bracha ahead of time, with an exception or a couple of exceptions. And the Gemara here focuses on exceptions. The diamond that you see in the Gemara is illustrated on the side. You can see we've written on the side under the Mivneh heading, Shnei Deos Lema Yotze Minaklal. We are going to see two opinions as to what is excluded from the rule shell, the rule being Brocha Oivir Lasiosim. We said brochas must be made before the fulfillment of mitzvah. We'll see the issue of an exception or two exceptions to this. So now the Gemara, Bei Rav Amri, in the Yeshiva of Rav, they say, Chutz min hatvila v'shoifar, with the exception of immersion in a mikvah for purification, which is a mitzvah, and a bracha is recited, as well as the mitzvah of blowing shofar, that both of these we make the bracha afterwards, and do not make the bracha ahead of time before the performance. So Bishlamo Tevila, I understand in the case of Tevila that a bracha is not made beforehand. Dakati Gavra Lo Chazi, the person was immersing prior to his purification achieved in the mikveh. Prior to purification, he is not fit for saying the bracha in the state of being tomei. And Rashi ties this into the issue of a Baal Keri. This is a man who had a male emission known as Baal Keri. He is Osir in Torah learning and in making brachas. And he becomes the archetype for all immersions. And again, we have to just mention, and we mention this all the time, but when we're learning Gemara markings, the Daf Yomi Shir, we're not talking about Halacha Lamaisa. But as far as this Gemara is concerned, Rav will be telling you, the Bei Rav is telling you, don't make a bracha before immersion, because the classic case of immersion, or the archetype, is the Baal Keri. And it's true that only he is the one who has this Torah learning bracha restriction, but he needing immersion to rid himself of the tumah becomes the archetype for all immersions where one rids themselves from tumah, even though the same logic doesn't apply to the others. Nevertheless, the Baal Keri serves as the archetype. So this is understandable why he can't make the bracha beforehand. As the Gemara says, he's a gavra lo chazi. He's not fit to make the bracha beforehand. He is restricted from making bracha. So out of no other choice, he has to make the bracha after he immerses. Elo shofar my time. Well, what about the shofar blowing? Why don't you make the bracha before the shofar? Why do you insist on making the bracha only afterwards? The chitemo mishum dilma mekalkilo tekia. If it's because of your fear that the shofar blast is not going to come out, in your first blow after you make the bracha, it won't actually be an acceptable blast. Well, if that's what your fear is, ihachi afilu shchita umilo nami, even in the case of slaughtering or circumcision, maybe it won't work out and you'll end up having made a bracha for naught. But we see we don't take that into consideration of Dilma Mekalkala. We do make the bracha before slaughter. We do make the bracha before circumcision. Elo Omar Rava, Chutz min hatvila bilvad itmar. Rav Chisda says that if anything was said that there is an exception, it's only the case of the immersion. Tanyo Nami Hachi, a Tanaic source that supports this. Toval v'ola, person who immersed himself and then arose and then arose and exited the mikveh. Bali also, upon his ascent from the mikveh, Omer Baruch Asher Kitshanu B'Sov Tzivanu Al HaTevilah. So this source illustrates that Tevilah, in fact, is an exception, that you make it post-facto, after the mitzvah performance. And now, as we mentioned a bit earlier in our shiur, we turn to a new topic. The Mishnah mentioned that Bdikas Chometz takes place the Or HaNer with the fire provided by that's candle light fire. The topic heading on the side, Hamokar, we're going to seek out a source to Bdikas Chometz Al Yedei Ner, that the search for Chometz is to take place using a Ner. When we speak about a Ner, we're referring to a candle, a single wick candle, as opposed to, let's say, a torch, or as opposed to sunlight. Especially in fact, we're talking about a nighttime candle checking. What is the source for that? Mino hanimili, the Gemara asks, from where do we know that we need candle, that the candle light is the light used for the checking? And as we said before, as opposed to, let us say, a torch. Omar Rav Chisna Lomadnu, we have a Gezeru Shav, and you'll see now a string of words that are connected one to the other, and the Gemara will explain each one of them, each stage as we go on. It's a string of words that we end up connecting that which the Torah says, lo yimotzei, it says you shall not find in your possession any chometz. And connecting the word metzia, the issue of finding, to the word ner, to the word candle. How we do that, we create a chain of word comparisons and eventually get to that goal. You'll see in the markings a house form is used, and on the side under our mivneh heading, these are milos shel gezeira shava lulmod mimenu debedikas chometz bener. These are the words that we highlight with our house marking, the words that are used to create the Gzeira Shava to establish that Bedikas Chometz, checking of Chometz, is to be done by candle light. How do we do this? So we continue in the Gemara. Metzia mi metzia. Ksiv, ocha. Here, in the context of Pesach and Chometz, it says, Shivas yomim sor lo yimotzei bevotechem. That for the 7 days of Pesach, you shall not find sor. Sor is a reference to Chometz, shall not be found in your houses. Uksiv hasam. In another pasuk, you find, in the case, this is a story involving Yosef and his brothers, and the Yosef's cup that was found in the sack belonging to Binyamin. And in searching for the royal cup, it says as follows: Vayechapes begodol hechel uvakotoin kilo vayimotzei. Now, notice how we've used markings within the pasuk. What we're trying to do is highlight links. So in this pasuk you see chipus, searching, is linked with mitzio, vayimotzei. Once we have done that, we know then that that chipus is associated with mitzio. So that is the first link we're establishing, which enables us to now, what have we done? We've connected the Pesach Pasuk with this Pasuk. And in this Pasuk you found not only Motzah, which is the obvious, that's the Metziah-Metziah connection, but that also enables us to employ Chipus in our next stage. We continue. U-Metziah mi-Chipus didei. And that we derive, this is what we just explained, we just demonstrated how Metziah is associated with Chipus. Didei means from the Pasuk itself. In the Pasuk itself you see them associated. So now I have a right to use Chipus as a jumping point to the next stage. The Chipus mineros. And Chipus is associated with Neros. Dechti boisahi achapes es Yushalayim ba Neros. Now in this pasuk you see Chipus is associated with Neros. The Neros miner, and the term Neros is associated with the singular candle. Dechtiv Ner Hashem Nishmas Odom Chofes Kol Chadre Boten. So in this pasuk you see Ner. You also see Chipus in this pasuk, enabling us to compare or link back Ner to Neros, and Neros was associated with Chippus, and Chippus was associated with Metziah, and Metziah was found in the context of Pesach and Chometz. There is some discussion that you'll find in the Meforshim, you can see this in the Tosfos, about this last stage. Was it really necessary when, in fact, the Pasuk just before had mentioned Chippus together with Neros? But we're going to leave that aside. That's something that is more involved. If you're interested or curious, you can look in the Tosfos for that. Tana Tevei Rabbi Shmuel. We have a Tanaic source taught in the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, which reflects that which we just said. It should be pointed out that that which we just said was courtesy of Rav Chisda, who was an Amora. Here we will see justification or a basis for that in a Tanaic source. It says, Lele Yudale, the eve of the 14th of Nisan, both Yonis HaChomets L'Arner, we check Chomets using candlelight, Afal Pishein Raya L'Dover, Zech L'Dover, even though you don't have an explicit reference to this, rather you have a hint to it or a reference to it, as we explained. Rashi explains why is this not an actual proof. After all, a gezeira shava is a means of coming to a definitive, explicit conclusion. Why are you referring to this as a zecher as opposed to a raya? Raya means something that's an explicit proof, and here you're saying it's only something we'll say there something that's only hinted to. So Rashi explains it's called an asmachta because divrei Torah mi divrei Kabbalah. In the link of psukim, we had some Torah chumish psukim, but we also had psukim verses from the prophets and also from the latter writings from Mishle. And we have a rule that the definition or clarification of things in the Torah, or let's say more than just clarification, but to define Torah teachings, you cannot do so by use of latter sanctified works, namely the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim. So, and since here we are employing the Nevi'im and Ksuvim in order to reach our conclusion, we cannot call this an absolute raya, but rather it's zecher l'dover, as we see here. And what is that? Shenemar, the pasuk says, Shivas yomim sor lo yimotzei. And all of this is now repeat. The omer vayachapes, begodol hechel v'koton kila vayimotzei. The omer bo'es hahi achapes es Yerushalayim banei ros. The omer ner Hashem nishmas odom chofes. And it goes on to say, chofes kol chadrei boten. The Gemara asks, my the omer, what do I need this last pasuk for? Technically speaking, if you're interested in comparing or let's say including Neros in the issue of the Chometz search, the second to last pasuk should have been enough, where it says Boisahi achapes es Yerushalayim ba Neros. V'chitema, the answer to why I need the last pasuk as well, which is, as we said, it seems redundant. Why do I? It more explains why I need it, because otherwise you might have said v'chitemo hai bo'esahi kula hu. The pasuk bo'esahi achapes es Yerushalayim baneros is really the reflection of something of a lenient nature. In other words, it reflects a checking that's not thorough, and as such, a checking that's not thorough, we wouldn't want to employ that in anticipation of finding chometz. And what's the leniency that might have been understood there? The Ka'omer Rachmana, the Almighty says, Lo badikno lo Yerushalayim b'nehora d'avuka. I'm not going to check out Jerusalem to find its sins through the use of a torch, the nefesh nehora tuva, which produces a great amount of light, which will certainly reveal that which I'm searching for. But I don't want to be strict on Jerusalem to find all of its sins. But I want to use a candle. The zutor means small. No, it's light. Its light is small. It's exceptionally small or limited. And as a result, when you're using a small amount of light for your search, in this case the search for sins, the Avon Rabo Mishtakach, Avon Zutar Lo Mishtakach, I, says the Almighty, I will reveal large sins that with limited illumination, you will succeed in revealing only that which is of a massive nature, but the small sins I won't reveal. And therefore, I'm choosing so as to be lenient and hold them accountable, the people of Yerushalayim, to hold them accountable only for major sins, but not to call them in on the minor sins as well. All right, this is all what I might have thought. This is called a havamina. Therefore, toshma, therefore I need the next posuk, ne'er Hashem, nishmas Adam, and it says in that posuk, choyfes kol chadrei baten, who seeks out all the innards, all the cracks and crevices of one's innards, so to speak. That pasuk indicates a high-level checking, because it says, once again, we're repeating ourselves, since it says in that pasuk, chofes kol chadrei baten, that all the chambers of one's stomach is being checked out, we see that the ner is associated with a bediko ma'aliyah, so with a high-level form of scrutiny, or in this case, a form of checking, for the chometz. So I need that last pasuk to show that a ner accomplishes a successful checking. It would then stand to reason that if you go back to the story concerning Yerushalayim, that the Kodesh Baruch was actually not being lenient whatsoever, but by use of the candle he was going to discover even the sins that one attempts to hide in cracks and crevices. But that is worthy of further discussion in and of itself. As far as chometz checking is concerned, it's quite clear that the ner provides the most desired form of illumination. This, by the way, will be expanded upon as we go on in the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, Ein Bokin Lo Lior Hachamah v'lo le'or ha'avona, one does not check chometz by sunlight, nor by moonlight, v'lo le'or ha'avuka, nor by torch light, elo le'or haner. Mipnei, and we continue at the top of Ches Amud Aleph, Mipnei she'or haner yofa le'bedika. And that is because the illumination provided by a candle is most desirous, is best suited for chometz checking. And here, once again, this is the third time we are seeing this section of Gemara to prove that candle light is the best form of illumination. Shenemar, and we don't need to explain this as having gone through this already a couple of times. Shenemar shivas yomim sor lo yimotzei bevotechem v'yomer v'yechapes begodol hechel, and it goes on to say at the end v'yimotzei v'yomer bu'esa hi achapes eshrem v'neros v'yomer ner Hashem nishmas odom chofes kol chadrei boten. The Gemara now asks, "Hai or hachamo hechidomi." Notice we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. This aligns with the arrow at the bottom of Zion Beis. The arrow here on Ches indicates, "Look to Zion Beis," and here you'll find your arrow at the bottom line, where it's indicated that it's associated with Ches Amud Aleph. And in the source, it said one does not use the or hachamo. So the Gemara now is focusing, "Hai or hachamo hechidomi." What are the circumstances of this or hachamo? So on the side, you see under our Nosei Mivne heading, the trapezoid or volcano shape appears. Shlavim, these are stages. Levare Mosai Amrino Di'ein B'dika Lo'or HaChamo. Under what circumstances do we say that sunlight is unacceptable? So the Gemara continues. E Neima B'chotzer, if you're saying that sunlight is unacceptable for checking a courtyard, Ho'amar Rova Chotzer Enotzricha B'dika. But Rava taught that a chotzer doesn't need a chometz checking in the first place, because the orvin is a type of bird. Sometimes it's translated as a raven, but for our purposes it means birds are commonly found in people's courtyards, and they will be assumed to have consumed any chometz that might have been there. So the unacceptability of sunlight as far as a courtyard is irrelevant, because a courtyard doesn't need checking in the first place. Ella be'achsadra. Achsadra is a, we'll call it, in English you can refer to it possibly as a sun porch, or it's an entrance. At the entrance to some people's houses, they had an overhang, supported by pillars, and it was quite open. In other words, it was open on three sides, with either large windows or completely open. Very bright location. So maybe what we are teaching is that the checking of the achsadra should not be done by sunlight. Well, that's not true. Amar Rava, but Rava said achsadra li'orot nivdekes, that the achsadra can be checked out with the light that shines into it, the sunlight. Lo tzricha. No, the source that said you cannot use the sunlight is la ruba de becheder. We're talking about an indoor situation. A cheder is a house or a room in a house, and aruba is what we would call a sunlight. It's a hole in the roof that allows sunlight to enter. So we're saying here, in an indoor situation, don't use the sunlight that enters through the aruba. Well, udehecha, where in the room? E libahadi aruba, if you're talking about the area directly under the sunlight, under that hole in the roof, hainu achsadra, that would have the same din, the same rule as the achsadra, where you can in fact rely on the sunlight. But yet the source tells you you cannot check with sunlight. Ela litzdadin. So the final answer is that the unacceptability of sunlight is in a room, in the parts of the room that are off to the sides. Sun means the sides that are off to the sides of the area under the sunlight. The Gemara continues with a question. There is a star that we have on the right-hand side of the Gemara text indicating that this is a referral back to Zion Amud Beis. And you'll notice on Zion Amud Beis, at the bottom line, mention was made of not to use an avuka, a torch, either. So the Gemara asks, the avuka lo, is the torch somehow presented as a poor source of illumination, that and as a result I can't check with it? V'omar Rava. We have a question, by the way. This question lasts a number of lines. Take note of that fact. V'omar Rava, my dichtiv. The pasuk says v'noga ka'or tia karnayim miyado lo v'sham chevyon uzo. That's a pasuk which we're not going to translate, but allow the Gemara to explain the point. Lema tzadikim doimin b'fnei shechina. What are the righteous compared to when they are in the presence of the divine presence? So tzadikim, you know, as righteous as they are, and whatever light they might cast forth, nevertheless, in comparison to the Shekhinah, so we have this illustration, kener b'fnei ha'avuka. It's like a candle in front of a torch, where the candle's light is almost meaningless in the context of a torch. V'yomar Rava, avuka lehavdola mitzvah min amuvchar. There's some gersos that indicate that this last phrase isn't really necessary here, but actually, let's retract that. We'll just say that this is a sort of a type of parenthetical halacha, that the avuka, the torch, is that which is the most desirous type of light for the mitzvah of Havdalah. But for our purposes, we see here that the torch casts a great deal of light. So why would it not be acceptable for use in Bedikas Chometz? So in order to answer this, you see a number of approaches, and on the side of the one there are no same Mivneh heading, we introduce the crown shape as follows. Hezberim, lama ein livdok lior avuka. Why not to use the torch? Even though, we just saw that the torch was praised as a great source of light. Omar of Nachman bar Yitzchok, Zeh, the ner, yochol achnisu l'chor mustakim. A ner is a single wick. It's something that you can enter it into holes and cracks and crevices. Holes and cracks where there may be chometz lying. And you can't do that with a torch. A torch is a much wider entity than a single wick candle. Vizeh, the torch, eino yochol achnisu l'chor mizdokim. You can't get it into the cracks and crevices which is necessary in order to fulfill your checking for chometz. Rav Zvid Omar, ze oro lefona, vze oro l'achorov. The ner, the nature of the light cast by a candle is that it lights up the area in front of you. So, and that's how you check. You check by walking ahead. A person's eyes are supposed to be in front of his head, so he needs light that is cast frontwards. The ze oro l'achorov, the torch illuminates the area in back of you, and hence it's not useful for bedikas chometz. Rav Papa Omar, hai bois v'hai lo bois. In the case of holding a torch, a person, bois means he's fear-struck. In other words, his mind is on the torch that it shouldn't catch fire on something, and he's not going to be thinking about the bedika. Whereas in the case of a candle, so you're not full of this concern and preoccupation, you'll be able to concentrate on the bedika. Ravina Omar, hai moshech nohiro v'hai mikdaf iktufi. Ravina says the candle is a constant, even flame, as opposed to the torch, which is it has a type of flicker or jumping nature to it, and as such, it's not efficient for checking. Before we conclude our shiur, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.